Have you heard All of the Above with Norman Lear? So far, Norman's had conversations with Amy Poehler, Gerard Carmichael, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, Charles Barkley, Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin, Stephen Tobolowsky, Martin Sheen, and last week it was Kevin Bacon.
When they say action, I don't want to feel like it's Kevin. I want to feel like it's, you know, in this case, Dick.
And don't forget to check out this week's episode with America Ferrara.
When I speak out and speak politically, I don't think of myself as speaking as an artist. I think of myself speaking as a person, as a citizen, as a woman.
All of the Above with Norman Lear. New episodes every Monday on the Podcast One app, or subscribe on Apple Podcasts or PodcastOne.com.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. I chose to get on, man. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. Thanks for doing what you do over there. Drewski's putting his tie on.
That's awesome. How crazy is it that we're almost done 600 of these things? Isn't that crazy? How many ACS you done? Is that number up there somewhere?
It's I'd have to check, but it's somewhere in the 1500s,
oh,
I believe.
My God.
No,
I thought it was
no, it's
got to
be north 2000. of 2000. I'm sorry, 2100, yeah. Something like that.
Can you imagine?
Sort of. I mean, yeah.
No, I mean, when you started this whole thing, I remember a conversation we had years ago. We were like, "It's coming, man! It's happening." You know what I mean? It's like, it's going to be something. We're going to get computers and we'll watch it or something. It's going to be something.
Well, you know, I've never...
remember that conversation?
Oh, we've had a lot of those. Yeah. I remember one, so I was telling you about real TV, reality.
Yeah,
I was talking about reality TV in like 1997. I was going, real. It's got to be real.
Something real is going to come. We're going to give them something real.
They didn't have reality TV.
No, they didn't. Well, they had Road Rules or something like that. That was the beginning of it.
Yeah, like an MTV show. Yeah. An R show.
Yeah.
I never think about how much for anything, ever. Short side, long side, doesn't matter. And I never think about, oh man, 2,000 plus shows, or I have no thoughts about it. I never have. I don't know why.
That's good. Just stay in the moment. I mean,
yeah, I guess so. It doesn't. I do have things that interest me, and I do have numbers and things that are. Can be
well,
you're assigned numbers to them that I do enjoy.
Have practical or pragmatic value or wisdom attached to them. This has no meaning. It's just, we did a lot. That's it.
Yeah, that's what it feels like.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel. I mean, I'm glad we've done it, but it 2,000 shows versus 1,000 shows doesn't feel any different to me. Oh, and 5,000 won't feel any different either. So there's nothing to gain from it for me. Mm-hmm. So if you put me to racetrack and you give me multiple laps, I'll learn the track and probably get better at a certain point. So that would, if you said, would you rather do 10 laps of this or would you rather have 50 laps? I'd say 50. Like, that's a number I would count and think about versus 2 laps, you know. But this doesn't have that same feeling.
By the way, last Memorial Day, we haven't talked about this. Did you see the Indy 500?
I did.
What'd you think of the race?
It was great.
Yeah.
Very exciting.
It was.
And I've been there. And I brought Sonny and Max Pata as well. It was a very good experience. I recommend doing it and like bring your kid. Just, you know, forget about the car part. Just experience the whole experience part.
Yeah,
I was actually
spectacle.
Yeah, I was gonna. Only part didn't work out with me is I was going around the track and with Mario Andretti on his tandem seat Indy car. They give rides to people.
Oh, God, sounds awesome.
It does, yeah. It.
How fast do you go?
I would imagine in that car, on that track, he'd probably crank it up to 180, 185 or something like that.
Is it crazy or is it?
The car didn't work right.
It didn't go fast or?
It was.
Or you didn't go at all?
No, we got in it.
Yeah.
We took off. You know, it's always this kind of like weird thing, which is like, oh, the helmet doesn't fit right, you know, and they go, well, what size helmet are you? And you're like, someone should have shot me an email about a week ago and asked me what size helmet I am. It's just this weird.
Yeah.
We have a weird, we have every modality for communication, but we have no, we don't use a lot of it.
No wisdom, no judgment with it.
Again, yeah. The amount, and this is smart and dumb, the amount of conversations I have with Gary Fultard or Rob at the other shop were like, yeah, I bought the black anodized aluminum. And I'm like, why'd you do that? Oh, I don't know. Well, I thought I wanted black. Do we ever use it? No. You ever seen it on any of the racers? No. Did you have your phone with you? Yeah. Why didn't you call Rob and ask him? I don't know. I didn't know why you guys wanted to. I was like, it's like, just pick up your fucking phone and call.
Or text.
I did Prager's show. I'm curious. It's been bugging me a little bit, Gary. Ask the Porcelain Punisher if he can get on the mic. I did Prager's show last week, and I was aware that I was doing a 3-hour radio show. I'll get into Mario Andretti in a second. Don't let me forget. The car sputtered. It didn't work right. Something was wrong with the turbo or something. He wasn't able to get it up on the pipe, so to speak, and he was having problems with it. And we went 110 miles an hour or something. The idea of just doing a parade lap when there's 250,000 people, like right before the race, that just driving around Indy was
track, yeah.
Yeah, as far
with
as
Mario
the,
Andretti, it's I've so weird.
Done enough racing where the actual speed part wasn't the big excitement of going around. I actually liked going slower and waving to everybody.
Yeah.
Hey, Porcelain Punisher.
What up, boss?
Were we talking? I feel like we had this conversation where we were talking about Dennis Prager, and I was, saying, like, you're doing it tomorrow. And I said, like, yeah, have we gotten an email or something? And you said something like, he's got stuff he wants you to talk about, or there was some conveyance to me about he has topics or subjects or something. Do you remember that?
Well, what I recall is that I asked you, is there anything that you need from the Prager team, or do you have everything that you need? And you said you had everything. That's what I recall.
Right. But there was some correspondence where they said, like, Dennis has subjects or topics or something. You said something that was vague, but
it was
sort of like
also, I thought you got on a couple calls with them.
No, I showed up. So I had this list of like stuff I wanted to talk about, but it was sort of discussed that he's got subjects, stuff in the news.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Okay. Well, he picks out subjects. Yeah, yeah. I'll talk about them. Yeah. It's his audience. It's a conservative radio show. Right. So I showed up at like for a 9 a.m. show at like 8:41 or something, a little early for me, but I figured I better give myself 15 minutes here. And I was like, all right, Dennis isn't here. But I've done the show quite a few times, and Alan, his producer, just sits in the studio, and he, like, says stuff, let's go, here's the website, or go to break, or play, So I was like, oh, I'll do the show, and Alan will be there, and he pulls stuff up on CNN and shows it to him, or clip it, whatever. Kind of steers the ship. I showed up, and I'm like, Dennis is gone. It's religious holiday. Fine. Where's Alan, then? What's he want to talk about? He's gone, too.
Whoa.
I'm like, oh, well, did they have a list of stuff they want to talk about or something? No. Like,
wait, I'm confused. You're going to do it by yourself?
Yeah. So it's like the producer. So I got the fill-in for Dennis. That part I got, but I didn't get the part where the
producer
the conductor of the show was not going to be there either, and that there was literally, like, I was like, when's the show start? Like, 14 minutes? Could I get a scratch pad?
Oh, my
like,
God.
I was like, this is all talk, and I was like, so neither one of the guys irresponsible, but it's weird that it never filtered to me that producer.
Did they scramble to do some stuff?
Well, there wasn't anybody.
Nobody to help?
Well, there's an engineer.
Oh.
Sean, who's a good guy, but he's an engineer. And then they had an intern, which is funny. And they had a phone screener, but there was nobody in the room.
That's incredible.
And so it was like, oh, I better hustle up and jot some stuff down and this, that, and the other. But
and if you wanted to book some guests or something, there was nobody
to help
you?
I probably would have.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I couldn't have, but it was
weird.
Could
you call Matt in emergency?
Yeah, Matt, you can get back to it. But we never got the message that Alan, producer, wasn't going to be there either, which is something you – It's nothing nefarious, but it's just something that I probably would have liked to know going in, because I kept thinking to myself, I'm not sure about the clock. I'm not sure about the cadence. I'm not sure about how the phones work, but Alan will be sitting right there. He'll just kind of, and he'll give me someone to talk to if I want to, whatever.
All right. Let's do some calls.
Yeah. You want to do some calls?
I do. A whole bunch of them.
All right. Which one do you want to do?
Start at the top.
All right. Let's talk to Matt, 36 Chicago. Matt.
Hello. Big fan.
What's going on?
Gentlemen, so a couple months ago, I had an episode where I was driving. My vision became blurred. I lost peripheral vision and just overall became dizzy.
Mm-hmm.
I ate. Shortly after that, everything was regained. And my brain actually stopped functioning, and I couldn't think of words to use, and I couldn't really formulate certain sentences. So, I was wondering if it's a blood sugar thing, if it's something.
Dude, why are you calling a podcast? Why didn't you see a physician? That's a medical emergency.
I just chalked it up to being hungry.
Matt.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
It's a medical emergency.
Well, he chalked it up.
You need to go see a doctor immediately. Immediately. It could have been a stroke. It could have been an aneurysm. It could have been the 100 things it could have been. All very, very dangerous, and all can recur, or many can recur.
That's not supposed to happen when you're 36, when you're hungry.
No.
All right.
Especially with the speech and the confusion and stuff. I mean, that is a serious neurological symptom. I don't understand people. To me, that's bewildering.
Many things in the human condition are now bewildering to me.
But Matt, please get to see a doctor immediately. Just today. Today. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Go today. What's Lincoln doing?
I'm talking to Nick. He's 28 from Long Beach. Nick.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's going on,
man?
How
are you?
Good. How you doing?
Hey. I'm doing well. So I called to get some wisdom from Adam.
All right.
Adam's wisdom.
Here we go.
All right. So, Adam, I'm in a situation that maybe you've found yourself in before. So I had a really, really good job as an AV technician up until about 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I left that company. I was one of those situations where I kind of anticipated things going south, and so I left. But I've started my own company for the past 2 months, and I've since gotten another offer from another larger company to come work for them. Mm-hmm. And the pros and cons seem to be kind of like even thus far, and I wanted to kind of give them to you and see what you think.
All right. Go ahead.
All right. So the first one is if I'm working for myself, I obviously have a flexible schedule, but the downside to that is I kind of have the symptom that you do where, like, if you don't have something to do in the morning, as soon as you get up, I, like, start to get depressed within, like, 2 days. So I would literally have to be, like, kicking my own ass to be up at, 6:30 or 7 a.m. to be, like, running my own business and, like, really doing it. The company
tracking.
That wants...
I kind of am.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. The company that wants to hire me, it's a great company, but they want me to drive my own car. It's a pretty far commute in the morning, and they don't offer health insurance, and so that's one of my big things coming up in February is that, like, I'm going to need a company that offers me health insurance.
Why?
So,
why?
I'm a diabetic.
But why don't you just buy your own health insurance?
So far, I've been doing that. So I have Cobra through February, but it's, like, very, very expensive.
And how much is it?
Upwards of, like, $450, $500 a month.
Is that – well, Drew gave me a look.
But my question is you're going to base your entire career on that $450 a month?
No, not at all. What I'm basing my career on right now is should I take a chance on myself and continue to, like, work for myself and start this company from a ground-up kind of perspective, or should I go work for someone for, another year or two and kind of get that more experience under my belt, but kind of deal with – the whole, like, construction industry and what it takes to kind of work in that field.
All right.
So that's why.
Nick, I'm glad you brought this up. What can – you're 28. That's young. You don't need to be doing too much before you're 30 except for training. and getting paid, but I mean learning. When you work for yourself, like when you did what I did for a long time, I never really even thought about it this way, but when I was getting to the end of my carpentry career, one of the things I was doing is doing tons of dog-eared wood fencing. Because at the end of the career, right before I met Jimmy, in 94, we had an earthquake. And the earthquake knocked over all the cinder block walls in the San Fernando Valley.
Right.
And no one wanted to replace them with cinder block. They wanted to replace them with wood so they wouldn't fall over in the next earthquake. So I found myself like at Home Depot with a cart with hundreds of dog ear red piling, you know, 36 inches high and 4 feet across, flat cart just pushing. You know, I'd have to buy hundreds and hundreds of these things because in order to do a 120-foot run along someone's house, you know. And I just sit there, you know, you dig the ditch, you plant the post, pull the string. You know, it's weird monotonous stuff because you put one up, then you put the next one, then you put the next one. About every 4 or 5, you throw a level on it just to make sure you weren't getting out of level. You'd use a 16-penny nail as a spacer for each top and bottom, but they'd be twisted and weird and stuff like that. And it was pretty monotonous, and I wasn't really learning anything. I was just making money. But when I was on jobs where I was like building a custom house in Malibu from the ground up, I would be learning things because it was a big custom house, you know? So
yeah,
learning stuff, and you don't get to learn. See, when you work for yourself, you're just going to people's houses, putting in the hooking up the Apple TV or whatever. You might not be learning stuff, but when you work for a big outfit, now you're working on big houses with big budgets and so.
That's
you know,
a great point.
So forth. Yeah. Well, Nick brought it up.
Yeah.
I like the idea of being with this company if and you can work on these bigger projects and widen your scope a little, and then in a couple of years you can bug out and start your business again, and this time have these much bigger scope and scale in terms of your knowledge.
Okay, yeah, that makes plenty of sense. Yeah, the companies are like, we're talking, you know, $8 million homes versus me working in the like $1 million home range.
Right. Well, so you'll bring that $8 million wisdom to the $1 million home.
In a couple years.
Yeah.
Yeah, snort.
You know who does that? Blinds galore.
Ooh,
yeah,
yes,
they
do
it, and they do only that. They do it better than anyone. They create 100% custom window treatments built to your precise measurements down to every detail. I know we're doing like 9 windows right now with these guys, and they've been so good. I cannot say enough about the service they offer.
I'm angry.
Why?
I'll tell you when you're
don't
done.
Drag yourself out to buy an old box of pre-packed shades. BlindsGalore.com makes it easy to get the custom product for your windows right at home. Lots to shop amongst, lots of choices, guidance. They've covered over 2 million windows. We have them. The studio has them here. Love Blinds Galore.
And all their guys came over to the shop the other day.
They help. They've helped you figure out what you want to do and what would look best and how to do it, and they're great. BlindsGalore.com helps you get and build those custom blinds and shades you've always wanted without the designer price tag. That is for sure. And it's not cheap. It's high quality, but it's inexpensive. Go check out BlindsGalore.com and let them know we sent you here from Adam and Dr. Drew Show. That is BlindsGalore.com.
All right. Why am I angry about blinds?
Yeah.
Everyone should do this in life. You should learn how to think.
Yes.
Learn how to think.
That's for sure.
And the thing that I like about building all the time is I always feel like it taught me how to think.
Mm-hmm.
And here's how one would think. As an example, let's say you're putting up a loft bed. And you go, okay, I'm going to put this ledger across the top edge. And I'm
laughing because you're having a flashback to filming your show.
No, I'm laughing. I'm laughing because I was doing the show a few days back or last week or something, and someone said like Drew's going to have his guests going to come. Drew's doing shows like after your show or whatever. And I was looking at the door with the window, and this guy like came by and he was just like staring through the window. He was just kind of staring at me, and then he came by for a second lap, and he was just staring at me again. And I said, "Thought to myself, why is every one of Drew's guests like complete fucking nut jobs?" And is it Wes Chapman? I can't remember who it was, but then later on I went out and I didn't see him sitting around, so I wasn't sure. It was the part where he doubled back and came back and stuck his head in the window a second time.
Hysterical.
Yeah, funny. Anyway, I learned how to think. And so there's always a way to do something. That's what I like about carpentry. And the thing I like about carpentry and in life and problem solving, people think, oh, it's my way or the highway, or there's one way to do it, or there's whatever. No, there's probably five ways to do a lot of different things, but some are better than others. And I'm sure when it comes to procedures, you know, there's one where, well, we just cut you open and we take out your whatever. And there's one where they fish the thing and up your urethra or whatever. Like there's the ones where we make small incisions. It's a better, you know, whether it's a boob job or gallbladder or whatever, there's better ways. And you can go, hey, the way I'm talking about still gets rid of that gallbladder. And it's like, yeah, but it leaves a scar and it costs more money and it takes longer. Mm-hmm. Gets rid of the gallbladder. Like, okay, but I'm here to figure out the best way to do everything. That's what I'd like to do.
Yeah.
No doubt. And it's like I tell my guys all the time. And they're like, well, then we'll just take it off, resand it, repaint it, and put it back. I'll go, yeah, of course we can redo everything all the time or refix everything or whatever it is. But that's just more time, more effort, more money. So when you're doing a loft bed, let's say you bolt a ledger up to the wall, and then you say, okay, that's going against this wall, and then the other end of the loft is going against the platform. It's going against the other wall. How long do we make the post that's out there? How long do we make it? And someone might say, well, just measure from the ground up to the top of the ledger, and if it's 71 inches, then cut your post at 71 inches because it's going under the thing. They'll both be 71 inches. And what I say is, now don't do that. Take a 4-foot level and set it on top of the ledger. Carry it across, make sure it's completely level, the bubble's right in the middle, and then measure from the end of the level down to the floor, because the floor may dip, it may rise, it may change, and I want the platform to be level. That's what I want. My goal is loft level, not
so
71
think
inches.
Think about what you're trying to achieve. Yeah.
Think about what you're trying to achieve, and then in the now you'll go
problem solver on that.
Well, you can go, oh, we could just cut the thing at 71 and cut the thing at 71. I'll go, yeah, you could.
Yeah.
And you might be off an eighth or 3/16th, high or low or whatever. I don't know, but do it this way, because this way is level, and that's what you're looking for. Level. And we were installing our blinds galore. We had blinds galore at the other shop.
Yeah.
And I did what I always do, which is I just walked up and I said, okay, here's how you have to do it. Here's what we're going to do. We had the big, long windows. They're about 3 foot tall, and they're like 9 foot wide. And there's like three or four of them in a row. And we're putting the blinds galore right on top of all of them. And I just looked at it, and I said, I don't want to stand back from this and see that there's a little different in height or tilt. They're all going in a line, and they're separated by about a foot and a half. And they're going right along the thing. Now, how would you put those brackets up, Drew?
How would I do it? I would...
I mean, logically, you don't have to be a carpenter, per se.
Do you know where... I don't understand quite where you want the
first
one.
Well, you figure out your height.
Yeah,
you figure out here, it's the first one's going to be 80 inches off the ground or whatever.
I guess if you can, ideally you would take the level, just based on what you said, and take the level across all the way, because measuring up from the floor could have changes.
Right. But now here's the problem. We don't have a level that's 9 foot long.
That's big enough.
Yeah. So now where are we at?
You just keep drawing a line across with it? You have a plumb line or something?
You can't really do a plumb line that way. They have line levels.
Two levels?
No. Well, now you're getting into a factor, a zone where things can screw up. Because anytime you're holding stuff against the wall, first off, you're drawing lines on the wall. What do you want to do with the lines? Paint over them?
Right.
Like, you don't want to get into a lot of drawing lines on the wall.
Yeah.
And also, what you don't want to do is get in a lot of, like, hold the bracket up, put the level on it, do the thing, and then take everything down and try make sure you drill into the concrete, but it always swims over a little, moves a little bit, whatever.
I don't know this how to solve those problems.
Well, I said establish the height of the first bracket.
Yeah.
Put it up. Mount it. Then take the blinds galore. Snap it into the bracket that you mounted.
Yeah.
Put the 2 foot level on top of it and level it.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay.
Use
got it.
This
use
is
it.
The,
yeah.
the span.
Yes. Got it.
So I said, we don't have a 10-foot level, but we have a 2-foot level.
Yeah.
We'll put that on top of it, carry it over, and have the bracket already snapped in the other side.
Yep.
When it gets level, sink the screws in it with that. Then for the next window, just go right off of that bracket.
Same thing.
To a foot over to the next bracket. That'll be your starting point, and do the same thing and go right on down the line.
Yeah.
All right. I walked in 20 minutes later. Gary's just drawing lines with the level. I'm thinking, like, why won't you just do it? I don't know what that is, but why not?
You didn't understand what you said.
I don't care if he understood what I said. I explained to him exactly how to do it. Exactly how to do it. And
he should have. What if he was he afraid to ask you to clarify it? Maybe
you guys think. Drew offers these excuses. Like,
no, I'm just I don't think it's fear, but I do believe he would like to avoid interaction. But I think to Adam's point, I believe he is capable of taking in instruction and executing.
I just don't think he heard that one,
but he doesn't always do it.
You're right?
No. Here's what it is. He and everybody. Or most, sadly, have their way of doing things. Okay. When they look at something, you go, all right, I'm going to take – what did you say? When I told you, you said take the level, put it against the wall, draw a line, then slide the level over, make sure the line hooks lines up with that, and then draw another line. That's what you said.
Yep.
That's your way of doing it.
That's the best way I could come up with,
That's you.
Yeah.
Fine. Great. I know more about this.
Yeah.
So now I tell you, here's how you do it, and what happens to you, because you're smart. You go, oh,
good. Thank you for making it better.
I said put a 2-foot level in there, and you went, huh? 2 foot over the blind, and use that as the extender. And you went, oh, okay.
Done.
Yeah. That's you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Got it.
So it's not that they don't understand. So he's even resistant. It's just that they kind of have a way of doing it, and it's not your way.
All right. I get it.
Yeah. It's awesome when you're paying them, though.
Okay. Daryl?
Yes, sir.
What's going on?
How are you?
Hey. Good, man.
I talked to you guys a couple weeks ago about my wife wanting to leave me or wanting to get a divorce.
Right.
And you guys both opined that it was possible that there was somebody else. And
it was that she all of a sudden wanted to go. I had to go now. I'm out. And it was like, oh, that's when there's somebody else. So.
Yeah, that, and when you tell married women, did you guys... don't have kids, right?
We do.
We have two young kids. Two young kids. Sorry.
Two little girls.
When you tell women with kids, look, I'd like to work on this relationship. Could we get some counseling? And they go, I don't think so. That to me, that means we're done.
Yeah.
We have somebody else.
Yeah.
Right.
She had the mom thing too, if you recall.
Right.
Mom ditched out on 7 kids. Anyway, since we talked, 2 weeks ago, it was about a week and a half, I started looking at phone records, and sure enough, right before she told me that, on the drive home from the airport, I see 3 calls to a number, and, you know, then subsequently a lot more calls. None before that, but 3 right before she told me, right as she got off the plane.
Right.
And I start looking into it, and sure enough, it's some fucking dude, excuse me, but, you know, I held off. I didn't confront her with it till the time was right. I've been going to a family counselor that we were seeing last year by myself since all this.
Good.
And then I found some before I confront her with it. She's going back on back to Irvine, and I found some lingerie in her bag. So this is more than just, you know.
Yeah.
And a lot more late night calls than the 3 weeks between me finding that call log and actually
Daryl, we understand, we get it, what's going on.
You confronted her, what'd she say?
She lied about it till I just started playing all my cards, and she's
Daryl, I don't know what this says about me, but while everyone else is commiserating, I always kind of feel like you dodged a bullet, man. You're young. You know, your dude, there's so many second acts these days. I hate the idea of the young kids suffering, but you're 31, you're in Boulder, you're smart, you're getting counseling. Yeah, you're hurting, but you're going to shake this off, and you're going to be somewhere a couple of years from now, and you couldn't even imagine being with this person anymore.
Right.
And you're going to be thankful that this happened. And, you know, change is never bad when you're a smart person and you're proactive, whether it's a job or a relationship. And I just feel like you're going to move past this. You don't need to be in detective mode anymore. You just need to be in dad mode. And I get all the feelings that are wrapped up in this, but it's really every piece of detective mode is not helping your daughters or your cause or your goals or whatever. It should always be the kids and her. And whatever you think of her, whatever she's up to, it's your job to motivate her to be the best mom she can be right now. And that's about it. I get it. It's just that detective mode. It's just not. It sucks, but it's not doing anything for you.
It's just horrible.
All right, line five.
I'll answer that. Do a tablespoon or more, you can get terrible diarrhea. MCT oil. He wants to know how much MCT oil he can take.
Oh, come on. You had Max Fata going over there. MCT oil. Look, also the deal is you'll know when you've taken too much.
Your bowels will let you know.
You'll know. All right. Live shows. Oh, the guy's ex-wife's going to be in Irvine, man. Bring the lingerie. Thursday, June 5th. Me and Prager. Tag team. Thursday, June 15th, come say hi, and Levity Live. That'll be Dave Koechner and...
And Rainn Wilson.
Oh, we can now confirm.
Oh, Rainn Wilson, which you wrote on there.
I'm trying to modify it so it doesn't look clunky, but I just found that out. It was supposed to be a surprise.
No, I knew about it because I talked to somebody about it, but you had up on the screen Koechner, and then you had Rainn Wilson like underneath it for a second, right?
Yeah, but I couldn't make it look very
good. I could have figured that one out, though. All right. The rain. I may
go
be bad.
Go to Levity Improv.
I go to amcroll.com and also No Safe Spaces. We're doing a crowdfund there.com.
Oh, Drew. Yeah. Go to Dr. Drew.com. Check out the family of pods.
So, until next time, Adam Kroll, the Dr. Drew saying, mahalo.